Okay, no, seriously. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Stronger Together. My name is Ray. I'm with Project Roll Call. And today we are here with Leslie from Permission to Start Dreaming. And we're going to allow her to talk a little bit about her organization, what they do, and who they are. But let's start a little bit. Let's start it off with, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, just like you said, I'm Leslie Main, and I'm the founder of the Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation, which, if you haven't already figured out, it's the new acronym for PTSD. So my story, it all stems from a desire as a mom to try to change the way we treat mental health and wellness with our veterans and our law enforcement now, as we see they're in great need of that as well.
Awesome. And how long have you been doing this?
So we're in our 14th year. My son died in 2009. He was a soldier. He served in Iraq. His cousin had been killed at the Pentagon on 9/11, and Kyle was in college at the time playing football, and he wasn't probably the greatest student. Maybe he was, you know, not really wanting to be there, but when 9/11 happened, Kyle knew clearly where he did want to be, and that was trying to get revenge, I suppose, at that time. So many of those young men at that time, we wanted to all do something. You know, we were united as a country. That felt like an unbelievable assault on every single one of us. And so he was living in Virginia at the time. He came out here, joined the Washington State National Guard. There were just some options there. He didn't want to join in Virginia for some reason. And came out here, and when the war got pretty heated, he was able to take himself out of the Washington National Guard, some paperwork, and boom, he was in the United States Army. And then they sent him back to Fort Lee, and it was, gosh, a week or two, and he was in Iraq. And that was in 2006, he came back for his sister's wedding on a very short stint back. I think he was home for 3 days, and then he went straight back to Iraq. He was an infantryman. And around 2008, there was an incident over there. I don't have all the details, but I know that there was a huge blast in the dorm where they were. Their barracks had never been hit before, and they were hit badly. And he suffered some traumatic brain injury, and there was just a lot of things that started to develop for him. So he got out of the Army. He spent a little time, I think, in the hospital in Germany, and then he came home. And as he was separating from the Army, he got the diagnosis at that time. This is in 2008, that he had this traumatic brain injury. And if you think back then, we didn't really know a lot about that. And quite honestly, we didn't know a lot about PTSD either.
Correct.
So he was living a pretty reckless life. Every day I would get another report from his girlfriend that things were going south quickly for him. He was living a life that was pretty reckless. And he would go into the VA and he'd get the paperwork and then they'd send him here. And it was just a combination of things. I wish I knew then what I know now and why it's so frustrating for so many of our veterans that do suffer from traumatic brain injury. There's a lot of confusion mixed in with the nightmares and you know, just the stress of it all, probably feeling like there is something wrong with you and you don't even know how to navigate the simplest of things. So he did try to take his life. He ended up in Walter Reed. His dad came down from Northern Virginia. I flew back. I live in Gig Harbor. I was working for the Muscular Dystrophy Association at the time. And I flew back, and we sat in a room with four or five different psychologists and counselors, I believe well-intended VA staff, who wanted to try to find a way to get this soldier some help. So they told us that they were going to treat him at the Perry Point VA Hospital in Maryland for suicidal intonations, depression, sadness, trauma, all the things, right? Alcohol, addiction. And I got to give him a hug. Had some words together, offering and promising him all the support I could gather, that I was going to move heaven and earth to find him the help when they released him. So this went on. This was December of 2008, and he was in the VA back there until March. And about a week out, he told me that they had told him that he was just taking up a bed and he could self-medicate. And he was on a lot of the psychotropic drugs, and that's how these things were treated back then. And so they discharged him on March 6th. And we got the call on March 7th that he had found himself a Baltimore hotel room, and he didn't wake up. Now, whether Kyle, 27, who served honorably, loved this country, loved his family, he wanted a wife and children. He loved his siblings. He loves his grandma. And he came from a very wonderful family that supported him and was very proud of him. But I bet that walk of shame from the VA to wherever he was going with his 90 bucks in his duffel bag was a pretty lonely, shame-filled walk. So when I say we're not sure if he purposely took his life, I think he was at a point where he just didn't give a... And... I think he expected to wake up the next day, but there was a lot of stuff in his system aside from his psychotropic drugs. So the answer to the question is no, he could not self-medicate. And the discharge, we should have known. We should have gotten a call, says on his paperwork that I've since seen, before this soldier is discharged, call mom, call dad. They had our phone numbers. We didn't get the call. So as you can imagine, my life, the trajectory of my life changed forever. I got pushed off a cliff that no parent wants to get pushed off of. And it took me a good year before I really started breathing again. That journey for a mom or a dad or anyone that's lost their child is, it should kill you. It hurts that bad. But there was a very loving God that I continued to pray to and ask, help me through this. Walk me through this. What is the next chapter? How do I help others like Kyle? How do I honor his service? What does that even look like? And so the journey since March 7th, 2009, has just been remarkable. And I'm really grateful for the journey since and the project that I get to be a part of, the work that I get to do, because I see my son, Kyle, and every soldier I meet. And I know there's hope, and I know there's a way to walk through that wilderness. I know so much more now how we can help. But they also have to be willing to do the work. So that's the Reader's Digest version, and I'm sorry that it's so long, but that's the genesis. And so here we are in 2024. So what I decided to do, because I saw, like everybody else that was living here, every day you woke up in the Tacoma News Tribune, there was another horrendous story of a soldier that had done something really stupid or killed himself or killed somebody else or got into a fight. And it was endless every day. And I just wanted to know, are there other civilians out there, unless you're connected to the military, do you see what's going on? There's got to be a better way. We've got to fix this problem. So I had started running for my pain and processing and grieving and crying and never took my glasses off for years, I'm sure. Sunglasses, that's just what you do.
Right.
And I started running. So I had this community of people around me, and I thought, you know what? Let's do a race. Let's call it a race for a soldier, and let's raise funds and find alternative programs that can really help these men and women get straight, get sober, get right, get a reset, get clear in their head, knowing that it's not what's wrong with them, it's what happened to them, work through it, you know. And I just wanted to see if anybody cared. So I got family and friends and 30 volunteers, and we put on a race in October of 2010. 2011.
Okay.
That was the first year. And I'll be darned if 1,500 people didn't show up.
Wow.
And then the other part of it was because of my faith and because I know there was a God that was listening to every tear and lifting me up every day and telling me to keep going, we added a prayer breakfast 2 days before the race because every soldier has a story. And I wanted to elevate their stories, that the more soldiers could share their stories of not oh poor me and war porn, but more how they've overcome and what does it look like for them. So I invited men and women to tell their story. We throw in a prayer, we throw in a song. It bleeds red, white, and blue, just like the race. And I didn't know, again, if anyone would show up, and 500 people did. We had too many people for the room.
Wow.
And that's how it's been going. And so we've created this community of who I like to call compassionate allies. Men and women and children. I want children to know when they come to our events that there's a reason that we salute our flag. There's a reason that we pay homage to the men and women that served, that this country is great and it is worth fighting for. And you're going to find that out when you come to any of our events. So the programs that I was looking for didn't really exist. You know, you have fishing and you have climbing mountains and you have service dogs and you have equine therapy and you have all those good things, wonderful experiences and great dogs, but none of it felt like it was sustainable. Nothing felt like it was really working through some of the inner demons with a lot of our men and women, that it didn't necessarily happen downrange. It might have happened when they were 5 or 6 years old with an abusive grandfather or an alcoholic father or, you know, that trauma. So a lot of these men and women join the military, as we all know, because they find their family, they find their people and their tribe there. So there's a lot to unpack when a soldier comes home, and I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but there's a process to it, and there's a way to do it, and your greatest struggles can become your greatest strength if you're looking at the right thing. And if you can forgive yourself, and if you can also forgive the other people in your life. So anyway, I was looking for that program. I was looking for something that was alternative in nature and that really was going to help these men and women find purpose and passion after their military service and continue to serve their country or their churches or their community or their families. Let's keep those marriages intact. Let's show them how much we value their military service, and but they have to show themselves first. So I was back in Virginia, where my son is laid to rest in the little town he grew up in, Hamilton, Virginia. And I was going down memory lane, and I was walking through the streets of a beautiful historic town called Bluemont, Virginia, because I used to take my kids there all the time. And this was in 2013. So I'm walking down the road and I see this beautiful crest that says Boulder Crest Retreat, Welcome Home Heroes. And I thought, that wasn't there when my kids were young. What is that, you know? So I looked it up and I saw that there was a man named Ken Falk and his wife, Julia, who had this beautiful acreage in Bluemont. And they saw the same things coming out of Walter Reed that we were seeing at Joint Base Lewis-McChord.
Right.
So they started bringing out men and women from Walter Reed just to be out there for the weekend. And then he took his money and he scoured the United States to see what was working in the mental health and wellness field. Who's out there that is really taking what they know and bringing it to the table to help men and women who serve this country? And he had met a man named Rich Tedeschi, who's a psychiatrist at University of North Carolina. And he and Brett Moore, an Army psychologist, and Ken and other thinkers in this space got together and created this beautiful program called Warrior Path, Progressive and Alternative Training for Helping Heroes. And it basically is uncovering all the things that you have stuffed in that rucksack and putting them out there, and you get retrained and you reset, It's a transformation of the heart, if anything else. It's a better way to say it. There are modules, there's curriculum. You spend a whole day on your family of origin. You spend a whole day on learning how to take better care of yourself, whether it's, you know, in your stomach, in your head, your relationships. Are they healthy? Who are your five to eight people around? You know, you just examine. And you have to be pretty darn vulnerable. Doesn't necessarily mean you're suicidal, but there are dozens of men and women that have told me that had they not had Warrior Path, they wouldn't be alive. I mean, those stories are real. So I met Ken and developed a relationship with him. He saw us, the Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation, as the little engine that could. He believed in what we were doing, and he could tell that my passion as a mom was going to make sure that we had a program like this. So a couple years later, in 2019, we had sent a few men and women from this area back there to go through the program, because at that time there was only one in Arizona and one in Virginia. But because there was such a desire and such a long line of men and women that wanted to go through the program, because the data doesn't lie and the outcomes are amazing, they were looking to see how they're going to scale this thing. So the Gary Sinise Foundation came along. The Avalon Action Alliance group came along. They are the Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank. They were the founders of Home Depot. They're well into their 80s, pushing 90, I think. They're great philanthropists. They got together with Ken, and they saw the way we do this is we scale it across the country, and we identify organizations like the Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation. We're going to give them a leg up and give them some money. They can hire their team, which is peer-to-peer. So our team is of seven is all veterans, men and women. And they got they've all been through the program themselves. And the post-traumatic growth that they see and realize every single day is real, and they're able to impart that to the men and women that go through it. So Ken offered us this beautiful opportunity. So we now are among 10 organizations across the country that deliver this program monthly. We are also attached to Warrior's Heart, one in Texas and one in Virginia, and they deal with substance abuse and alcoholism, and they are also peer-to-peer. So they can't BS anybody. If you got a problem with the bottle, go to Warrior's Heart, and they're going to tell you straight, but you're going to be so impressed with the outcome, and it comes from a place of empathy. There's no victimhood here. It's just getting to be the best husband and be the best version of yourself or the best wife or mother. Then you have to have some honest truth. And then there's follow-up for 3 months after. You have this new cadre, this new tribe around you. It's not a catch and release. If you go through our program, the Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation, we've got you for life. So there's sort of no escaping us. You know, we got you in the crosshairs. And then we're also part of five different universities that study brain health and traumatic brain injury. So if you're a veteran that is wanting help, you can't find it anywhere else, you either come to us or you come to Boulder Crest or one of the other organizations. And there's no charge other than to say that you're going to do the work. If you are working, we work with the employer. And that's another thing, is to get the employers and corporations and businesses that employ veterans. This is a great investment. If they allow this man or woman to go through this program and give them that week off, 10 days off, whatever, they're going to get a much better employee, a much better friend. And so it's a good investment. And as I said, the data is extraordinary. And sometimes I think I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit, and people think, oh my gosh, this can't be this great. But it is. And I get to meet the people that have gone through it. It's really wonderful. So I know that it would have saved my son's life. If I had, when he said, Mom, what do you think? I'd say, come out here, give this guy a call. if you're willing to do the work, I'm backing you 100%, Kyle. I know it would have saved his life because I hear those stories all the time. So you don't look back, you look forward. And as I've gotten stronger and more convicted and more staying in a place of gratitude, my adult kids have also started to heal as well. And everybody around you, you know, they claim, you know, that if you go through this program, you have the capacity to impact 500 people positively in your circle. And I believe that whether it's this program or anywhere else, if we stay in the light and we wake up every day with an attitude of gratitude, I think that that has a ripple effect. And that's what I've seen with this wonderful program. And then we have a monthly meeting for veterans. We call it the Heroes Huddle. I make big ass pot of spaghetti or chili or wonderful soup, and we bring it there and they break bread together. There's also one that is Matters of the Heart for the spouses. We do the same thing. They come once a month, and the women have an opportunity to just be heard, sometimes held. Maybe it's their husband that's gone off the rails and they don't know where to go, but they know they're in a safe and honoring place. And then just one more thing. So we have the prayer breakfast, which was inspired by Jay Redmond, Navy SEAL, who had a catastrophic injury to his face, got shot in the face. Man, his story is amazing. He's had like 300 surgeries, and he's just on fire, man. And I got to see him speak in 2010, and he talked about how God met him on the battlefield. And his life is nothing short of amazing. And when he got up there and spoke, he'd not had too many surgeries. So he was sort of, it was clear that he'd had a bad day at the office. But when he got up and spoke, I just knew that if Jay can get up there and tell his story, I want more Jays out there telling their story. And so that's what inspired the prayer breakfast. So we got the prayer breakfast, the Race for a Soldier, and then we have the Pool for a Soldier, which is a trap shoot event in October. And then we have the Swing for a Soldier, which is a golf event in July. And, you know, that's all about getting community there. And they're pretty special events, I have to say. The golf tournament's the largest one in the Pacific Northwest now. It sells out overnight.
And where are you holding that out?
We hold it now at Gold Mountain. Mm-hmm. But we had to move from Canterwood because we outgrew it, and then it was during COVID. So Gold Mountain, being in Kitsap County, was the only golf course that would even have us. And it's two courses out there, so we fill it up. It's sort of ridiculous.
Nice.
But we've been able to garner a lot of support, and everybody has a Kyle in their life, you know. And we get to change the paradigm. We get to create an epidemic of hope now, because if you don't have hope, you don't have much.
Right.
And so I think a lot of these men and women that come out of the military and are struggling, that come to us. We got you. We got your six. Yeah, we're gonna walk alongside of you.
So one of the things that I didn't know until hearing you today is I've actually participated in one of your events. Me and my wife, several years ago, a few pounds ago, were really into runs, local runs, mud runs, all that kind of stuff, and we did Race for a Soldier. It started over in, if I remember right, it was the Home Depot parking lot in Gig Harbor.
Yeah, YMCA.
YMCA, correct, YMCA, which is right by there.
Which is right by there. I was trying to think, did we go through there? Yeah,
yep.
YMCA. They've been wonderful for us. It starts at the Y and ends at the Y.
Yes, and it was a great event. The amount of people you had there, the patriotism, just everything was, and this was all for us. This was all pre-Project Roll Call. This was before I even met my co-founder. That was before all of that. And we were out there just supporting local runs, local organizations. And yes, we participated in that event. And it was, as you said, a very wonderful event. So well
thank
done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, we have the Kiwanis out there now at 4:30 in the morning, and they're flipping pancakes and sausage. And we work with the Wear Blue Run to Remember and Lisa Hallett. She was actually spoke at our prayer breakfast last year. And they do the very last mile when they bring all those just soul-crushing pictures of the fallen, and all the volunteers hold the big flags. And there's something about that last mile, and everybody will say that when they think that they can't get another breath of air coming up that hill, all they have to do is look at those young men and women that we've lost. And it's quite an inspiring, but we've just been so blessed to have the support of the community from Harnish family, Subaru, Puyallup. They donated a beautiful van to us, a 12-person van, so that the men and women that are going to the warpath have, we can take them where we need to take them. The Seahawks, they do mile 12 every year. They honored me last year with a really beautiful halftime presentation. And seriously, John Schneider, not dropping names, but they all come out to our golf tournament, and they really do care about our military and what happens to them out there downrange, but particularly when they come home, because that's when they can do the most. So they are men and women of their word up there at the Seahawk organization, I have to say. Been blessed. Gosh, we had a flyover this last year. It was amazing.
How cool is that?
It was a Blackhawk, and you could hear that puppy coming a long ways away. It was so exciting, and I think we're working on another one. There's something really special about that. And you've got all these kiddos and all these young people and the old geezers, and they're all out there, and we're about ready to do the national anthem, and all of a sudden you hear that humming, and oh man, it was really great. So we hope to do that, but it's not easy to get that to happen, because everything has to be
a lot of logistics.
So we had the help of the Washington State National Air Guard, and I was really grateful to have them involved. But people gravitate to others that do care about the same things. You know, we don't get to live in this country for free. And I know it sounds like something we've heard over and over again, but we've had a couple of terrible deaths just in the last couple of weeks from men and women that have served this country, either by accident or their equipment. And every time that happens, we need to be reminded. And so if people aren't thinking about that, I'm going to remind them one way or the other, politely, nicely.
In meeting you, I have to say that I'm very taken by the fact that you took such loss and you turned it into such a positive thing. You've gone in a direction that is affecting so many people in a positive way. And I can't even tell you how important it is that people see that when we suffer loss, we don't have to just disappear.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, we can do something about it. And
you have to give yourself permission in the beginning, though. I can tell you that first year, there wasn't enough Ambien or wine to take away the pain. And I finally figured it out. I mean, people were getting a little bit worried, you know, because I mean, I went into that dark place, but I got slapped upside the head in the reality that, you know, I can do that and nothing good will ever happen. Nothing good will. I'll right. never honor Kyle's service or his life at 27 years. And we're all going to have bad stuff happen to us in life.
Right.
And that's what post-traumatic growth is all about. PTG, it is a science. It's real. But you make a really good point that you can roll over and let it totally consume you. But in grieving, there's the right way and the wrong way. Everybody does it a little bit of both. You need help. My pastor said, Leslie, we want to help you, and we've got a gal that we know that goes to this church. She's a wonderful grief and loss counselor, and we're going to pay for 8 weeks or whatever. Would you go? And I'd never been to a counselor before, but I thought, you know, what have I got to lose? Because I was losing at that point. I was drowning.
Fine.
But I had people and family around me that wouldn't let me drown. And
awesome.
I I went 8 weeks, and then another 8 weeks. She was my lifeline, and she was so amazing. And then finally, I started to fly on my own a little bit. She goes, I think we're done here. And she goes, we can't be friends unless you fire me. And I want to be your friend. So I fired her, and now we're friends. And she's been one of the greatest supports. And we all need those kind of people in our tribe. And that's what the Warrior Path reminds you of, is that if you're often, we tell our kids this, if they're making bad choices, all you have to do is look at who are they hanging out with.
Right.
Well, as adults, we can do the same thing. You know, we're just maybe in denial that maybe that person over there really isn't that great to be around. She's a, you know, so
right.
It's, but we all have choice. We have agency to make those choices. And I think, if anything, this whole experience has taught me that the choice to be better and not bitter is such a better one, you know. Seriously, using the same word, but because life has no guarantees and stuff happens.
It does.
And you need to be a good example for the others around you and your children. My children really needed to see me get it together. So they're proud of me now, I think.
I would think so. I would think so.
Well, they're proud of what we've all been able to create. It doesn't, I've just been really fortunate. God has just continued to open doors and put people in my path. I take very little credit for any of it other than just say, use me. Let's make it better.
So to segue on the opening the doors and the paths, can you share with our listeners how they can get plugged into your organization?
Yeah.
I mean, your website and sure. Social media.
Well, it's PTSDfoundation.org. Permission to start dreaming if you plug that in. You know, I hate the PTSD. And when people use that and don't throw in the permission to start dreaming, even though it's a lot of words, that stigma of the D, we don't use the D anymore. You know, it sounds like it's a disorder that you're never going to recover from. And we know that's not true. But anyway, unfortunately, just the way it works, it's PTSDfoundation.org. And just get on that, and it's pretty obvious. We've got our event page there. You can sign up. You can volunteer. If you're interested in Warpath, just go to the Warpath. It drops down. You put your name in. Will give you a call. It's a short interview. There's no diagnosis needed. It's just like life can be so much better, and maybe Warpath is the route that one should take. And then I'm available. My name's out there everywhere. I take phone calls every day. All of our staff is that way. We have a small staff, but everyone is in it for all the right reasons. We're never going to be a large organization. We're just going to make a lot of noise.
I like
and,
that.
And we're going to stay true to the mission and check the egos at the door and keep helping and offering hope.
That's awesome. So from your website, can they also find like your social media? Do you have an events calendar?
And yes, we do. It's all there. We're on Instagram and Facebook. And we now have a full-time social media person, which we've never had up until 3 years ago. And we were able to get a couple of grants our way. It was me in a coffee shop or out of my apartment and a part-time administrative person and lots of volunteers. I feel like I'm on vacation half the time now because all these years it was really just me and maybe one other person and I said volunteers. Now we've got a team, we've got a staff, and they're all really smart and good, so much better than me. And so we're able to do a lot more for a lot more people now. And the big picture hopefully is that we find our own property. We're starting a capital campaign. It's going to be intense, but we want our own spot. We're the only organization within the network that doesn't have its own permanent lodging. So we rent a facility in Port Orchard right now. So we're on the hunt right now for a nice piece of property, and we're going to have our own you know, and what's really nice about having our own lodge and our own place and maybe a little pond, you know, who knows, great beds, good food, tranquil, a place that when you walk on this property, you know, you're there in a very private, sacred place, because that's how they are across the country. And of course, we're no dearth of that in the Pacific Northwest. We have lots of those places. But the hope is that when we have our own facility, then we'll be able to serve not only our veterans, our law enforcement, but their families and their spouses. And, you know, there's just a lot of opportunity. So we're excited. The future is real hopeful.
It's awesome. So in order to help facilitate that, are there ways that individuals or organizations can help donate or volunteer time?
Yes, absolutely. There's a spot on the website. You can say volunteer. It gives you a lot of options. And then if there's anyone out there that is in commercial real estate or property development, if they happen to know of, and we don't need a lot, you know, 10 acres. I mean, it didn't have to be that big, but it has to be private. Preferably, it would be it would already have a building on it, so you don't have to go through all the rigmarole of the, you know, all the permitting and all that.
Right.
It'd be nice to go in and buy someone else's retreat or camp, maybe that failed, you know, and they're out there. So we're all on the hunt. We actually have just hired a consultant that does this for a living. We decided, you know, we can't do this alone. It's a big project. How many millions we need, we haven't figured that out yet. But we're in good shape. And I'm just solid that someone's either going to walk up to me one day and say, Leslie, we've got this property. We've had it forever. We don't need it anymore, but we think you do. It's going to be that kind of conversation.
That would be amazing.
One more time, God's
right?
going to, I know it.
That would be amazing.
And time's a ticking, so let's get cracking here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So any events coming up that people can, like a race or anything?
Sure.
Like that?
Well, the race is, the race registration, I think, is going to open in March, maybe mid-March, and it is September 8th. The prayer breakfast is September 6th, Friday. We do have our first speaker, and I'm not going to announce him just yet, but I've committed, and once we do, he's legit. He'll own that room. We've had extraordinary speakers. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous when you can see the different people. We've, you know, Johnny Joey Jones was there a couple of years ago. We've had Jay Redman and Tim Brown, who is the very first firefighter on site at 9/11. His story is extraordinary. So September 6th is the prayer breakfast. September 8th is the race. The golf tournament is July, I want to say 11th. Packy's going to kill me because I don't know if that's the right date, but I'm pretty sure it is. And then the Pool for Soldiers is always in October. And I think it's right around my birthday, so it's like right around maybe the 7th of October. But we'll nail those down, and I apologize that I don't have those dates, but they're on the website. And then in between then, we have our monthly calendar of our monthly meetings. If there's veterans out there that are law enforcement that, you know, would like to join us, there's no expectations. We just come. The one thing I would like to say, there's a book that Ken Falk, the founder, wrote called Struggle Well. And I brought one here for you today. And it's a beautiful book. It's sort of a condensed version, if you will, of what you could expect at Warpath. But they've started a pilot program to introduce Struggle Well to our law enforcement across the country. They don't have the advantage of getting lots of time off because, as we know, we're in bad shape that way.
Right.
But they're still dealing with the underbelly of and the dark underbelly of society that seems to be getting worse by the day. And they're still the ones that are going out with you and I are sleeping at night, and the trauma, the moral injury that they're experiencing is, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. So we are very enthusiastic about helping them wherever we can, and the Struggle Well, it's about a 2-hour to 2-day kind of symposium, if you will. And we're going to see where that goes, but we're heavily invested. And when I say we, as an organization, and also across the networks that we're involved with, everybody feels the same way, as we've got to help those men and women that are, you know, are, in fact, we have two women that are on our Warpath team that are former deputy sheriffs, and our executive director, Steve Easton, was a deputy sheriff down in Arizona. So he comes to this with great love for his brothers and sisters, and so he's passionate about it too. They all protect and serve our communities and our country. There's about 1% of them that do. So I've never raised my right hand to serve and protect this country, but I sure care a lot about the men and women that do, and so I want to move heaven and earth to do whatever I can.
Well, Leslie, one thing I can tell you, just in the little time we've had together, you are serving this country, and you're serving those that serve this country, and there is so much to be said for that. You know, there
are, you make me cry.
Well, there's so many people out there that just live day by day, and they take for granted the cost that allows them to do that. And not only have you personally been a part of that cost, you've done something so important about it to make sure that other people don't fall into that same hole of despair. And I'm very, very impressed by that.
Well, what I see too is the more help we can give men and women that have served after they leave and retire, or just, you know, separate from whatever the reason is, doesn't matter to me. We still need them to serve, and we need them to lead this country for policies that are going to make more sense. And so every time I see a man or a woman who has served either in the military or law enforcement get into the ring, I just say bravo. They don't have to. They could go about their business and retire and go fishing for the rest of their life. But we've got grandkids, we've got kids, and that's who I care about. I don't recognize my country right now. I'm just going to say that right now. So I know it's not a political thing, but I don't recognize it. And so I get frustrated. So the only way I can help is to help those that are trying to protect. So I'll leave it right there.
That's good. We met a Gold Star mother, Sheila Murphy, a few years back. Her son, NTN Murphy, passed in action, and she, like most Gold Star family members, struggled. And in her struggling, she had told us that the one thing that really started to wear on her was everybody saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." So she started a campaign, put sorry into action. Instead of saying you're sorry, do something about it. And it's something that all of the people that were involved in the start of Project Roll Call and the event that started us, well, the majority of us wear her patch on our vest.
I love that.
And we work to do that very thing, because it is very easy to say, I'm sorry for your loss, but we do everything in our power to make sure that we are putting that sorry into action.
I love that. So how did Project Roll Call get started?
We met on a memorial torch ride through Tribute to Fallen Soldiers Northwest, where we accompanied a lit flame from Eugene, Oregon to Arlington National Cemetery in 2020.
Oh my gosh.
We met with the families of, I believe, 72 service members, and we honored each one of those families for their loss. And that is the ride that we met Sheila on as well. And along that ride, as we multiple families every day, you know, we just heard so many stories, and, you know, stories like Kyle's, where people have slipped through the cracks of the VAs, they didn't cross their T's, didn't dot their I's. We realized there was a huge gap, there was a void that needed to be filled. And so we decided collectively to try to do something about that. And Project Roll Call was brought into service to fill those voids and to honor those service members and to embrace those Gold Star families.
I love that so much. You know, there's a lot of really good organizations out there like yours, like ours. I think at one time someone said there were, like, you know, 1,500 NGOs started by veterans, you know, in an effort to do something, right? But not all of them. Yeah, it's hard. The nonprofit world is hard. You got to raise money. And people, you know, Talented Towers is one of the ones that I just love. I think what Frank Siller has done is amazing, and they do a really good job of telling their story. People give to people. The stories have to be told, right? When I said the prayer breakfast, every soldier has a story. And the more those stories can be told, hopefully people will receive them and then understand that, hey, this is a call to action. So, yeah, well, I applaud you for that. I love that. And thank you for thinking to even, you know, give me the space here to talk about what we're doing. And
we're honored to have you here. This has been absolutely great. The information you're sharing is so important, and it needs to get out there, and people need to know about it. And, you know, maybe somebody's will listen to this and say, I could use that in my life, or
yes.
One of his family members is saying, hey, why don't you go check this out? And we'd love to see that happen, because every life we can touch through our efforts or through the efforts of our partner organizations is worth every second and every cent we put into this. So,
and I think one of the reasons why Warpath works so well is because it is peer-to-peer. And so you walk into that room, these are your people.
Right.
And they've all been through it. You know, they've stood exactly where you're standing right now. So they understand there's a lot of vulnerability in saying, hey, you know, not sure why I'm here. My wife wanted me to go. My kids are screaming, you know, whatever the reason is. But ultimately, you're the one that takes that step into spending that week and getting real honest. But the transformation is beautiful, and there is hope. So, yes, thank you. And if anybody that hears your voice, my voice, is even remotely interested, just give a call. Give a call. Send an email. Let's just start there.
Right.
There's no pressure, because nobody wants to pressure anybody into doing this. But the results, I'm telling you.
Right. And they're going to find that again through PTSD.org.
Yep.
And all the information is on there for your organization.
Yes.
The Warrior Path program,
yes, sir.
And the events to support you guys.
Yes, sir.
That is awesome. And then Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
In closing, can I ask Kyle's full name?
Yeah. Kyle Marshall Farr.
Farr?
F-A-R-R.
Kyle Marshall Farr. Mm-hmm. And he's United States Army?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we honor a fallen service member. Mm-hmm. And then we toast those fallen service members on that Friday. And then we mention their names every day on their birth dates and their angel dates.
And that's March 7th.
Really?
So it's coming up.
So,
yeah.
So in this, I would like to say to everybody watching, may we never forget the service and the sacrifice of Kyle Marshall Farr and the service that has been set into motion because of his life is absolutely amazing. And thank you so much for sitting with us today and telling your story, your personal story and the story of your organization.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. That's, we're coming in for a hug.
Thank you so much.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, you didn't make it. It wasn't so painful. Thank you.
We will be out and we will participate in some of your events.
I'm going to make sure of that.
And we'll make sure that we drag some people along with us.
Yeah.